But Revelation chapter 5 this morning, we're going to begin in verse 9, and we're just going to lift up the Savior. Amen? That's what this is about, just lifting up the wonderful Savior through His Word. And this passage does that beautifully. Revelation chapter 5, beginning in verse 9, the Bible says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." That's all my message is, worthy is the Lamb. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so blessed to be able to assemble around Your Word and to know that the Holy Spirit is with us. And Lord, we trust in that power now this morning to work in our hearts, to change us, to draw us closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is truly worthy. Lord, may that worthiness impact our hearts today for eternity. I pray, Lord, that this will be a wonderful time in Your Word, and that we will leave changed by Your power, saying truly it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We commit this to You. May You be magnified in all that's said and done now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible says they sung a new song. This passage is a recording of something that hasn't happened yet. This is in the future. And God, of course, time means nothing to God. And God is recording for us a glimpse of us in heaven. The 24 elders represent the church around about the throne of God, singing praise unto the Lamb of God. Think about that. That one day we will be at the throne of Almighty God, the Creator of the universe, and we will be singing a new song. And that song is about Jesus. It's no wonder we sing about Him down here. He's worthy. The Bible says they sing a new song, saying, Thou art worthy. You know, when David, in Psalm 40, he talked about how the Lord brought him up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set his feet upon a rock, talking about salvation. And the very next verse in Psalm 40, verse 3 says, And He hath put a new song in my mouth. The day we got saved, we became something new, a new creature. Old things are passed away. Old things are becoming new. God has given us a new song, a song about Jesus. And we need to be singing it. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 42:10, Sing unto the Lord a new song. We've been changed. We're redeemed. We're going to heaven. And God wants us to sing about Jesus. The Bible says, singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That's what God wants. And what did they sing, or what will we sing? I should say, verse 9, Thou wast slain. It always goes back to Calvary, doesn't it? Calvary was God manifesting His love for this world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, the Bible says. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, that God gave His only begotten Son, the Bible says. When we look at Calvary, we see love. That Jesus Christ was slain for us. The Bible tells us, 1 Corinthians 15:3, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. The Bible tells us, 1 Peter chapter 2, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. Jesus Christ was slain for one reason, and that's for us. And we will be singing about it for eternity. Think about that. That one event is one of the greatest events in history, and we'll be in heaven. By the way, it says, hundreds of millions are there. Did you see that in verse 14? It says the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. Well, that's 100 million. And just for good measure, thousands of thousands. So hundreds of millions will be around about the throne of the elders, which is Christians, and the beasts and the angels, singing about Calvary, about Jesus, the Lamb that was slain. The Bible says in verse 9, not only was He slain for us, but the Bible says He has redeemed us to God by Thy blood. We will be singing for eternity about the redemption of Jesus Christ. Redemption means to buy back. We were bought back from the devil. We were bought back from sin and the consequences of sin. We have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption through His blood according to the forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ redeemed us. He was slain for us. He redeemed us. Verse 10, it says, and He hath made us unto our God kings and priests. God didn't just save us from sin and redeem us, but God then promised us eternity in heaven with Him, but also an opportunity to serve with Him in His kingdom, which is yet to come. We'll be kings and priests. Well, we're already priests, the Bible says. We already have the privilege of approaching the throne of Almighty God on behalf of others, which makes us a priest. But one day we'll rule and reign with Jesus Christ. Which is what it says. We shall reign. When we are singing in heaven, this event takes place somewhere between the rapture and the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. During that 7 years, we'll be in heaven singing praise and saying, and we shall reign. The millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ is yet in the future when this is written. We shall reign on the earth, the Bible says. And of course, we're told that in Revelation chapter 20. It says, blessed is he that hath part the first resurrection, on such a second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with Him 1,000 years. Jesus did all this for us. He died for us. He redeemed us. And He gave us the promise of our future with Him. We'll be kings and priests with Jesus Christ. We'll rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. Heaven is our home. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions, in John 14. Jesus did all this for us. And hundreds of millions, as we read in verse 11, will be around about the throne, talking about the worthiness of the Lamb. I must confess, I've preached on this passage before, years ago, maybe 20-some years ago. But every time I've ever thought about this passage, or the time when I preached through the passage, I basically just read verse 12 and then just skipped right over it. Which is what we tend to do when we read this passage. And I thought, you know, Lord, that's not right. Because it says here that we're going to be saying with a loud voice in verse 12, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive some things. I thought, what about these things? Why don't we just read over this? Power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. And then we move on to the next verse. I thought, we need to think about these seven words. What do they mean? If Jesus is worthy to receive these things, what do they mean to us right now? And I was amazed at what is in the Word. And so we're going to focus on these seven things this morning. Jesus, the Bible says, the Lamb is worthy to receive, number one, power. Well, since Jesus already has infinite power because He's God, what could that mean to us? If He's worthy to receive power, what does it mean? We can't give Jesus power. But when you think about it, when we seek man's power, when we try to accomplish things in our own power, what are we saying? But we have the power that's sufficient to get things done, and yet we don't. And so we're stealing God's power. We're basically insulting God by saying, I can do this in my own strength, Lord. I don't need your power, which is wrong. So He's worthy to receive power. He's worthy to receive the acknowledgement that He has all the power, and only He has the power. Matter of fact, you know, in Matthew 28, right before He gave us what's called the Great Commission, He said, go ye therefore teach all nations and baptize them and teach them. Right before He said that in verse 18 of Matthew 28, He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He said, before I tell you what you're supposed to do, which is go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, I want you to know something. I have all power. All of it. And I'm going to share it with you. And that's exactly what he told the disciples after he was crucified and rose again. He said to them in Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And I want you to do something with that power. He said, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. I want you to take my power and I want you to use it to get the gospel out. Jesus is worthy of all power. But are we willing to confess that we try to do things in our own power? Because that would be acknowledging that he's worthy of all power. You know, I think oftentimes because we are so self-centered and prideful, we do try to do things in our own strength and power and say, I can handle this. I don't need God's power. But we do. There's a verse I'd like to show you, 2 Corinthians 4:7, if you turn over there, in regards to the power that Jesus is worthy of. God makes this very clear about who has the power and who doesn't. 2 Corinthians 4:7, if you turn there. Notice it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You see what that's saying? It starts off by saying that we're made out of dirt, which we are. Read about it in Genesis where it says, and he took the dust of the ground and made Adam. It says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We're just an earthen vessel that the excellency of the power may be of God. But after we get saved, we've been saved a while, sometimes it's easy to forget. The devil starts whispering in our ears and saying, you know, you're a pretty good Christian. You can do this. And that's when we step over a line. Because Jesus said in John 15:5, without me, you can do nothing. So I believe Jesus is worthy of all power because the Bible says so, but we need to acknowledge it to be so by confessing that sometimes we try to do things in our own power, and that's wrong. And when we confess, it brings glory to God. Number two, the Bible says riches. Well, again, Jesus owns everything. The Bible tells us that. He says in Psalm 50:10, every beast of the forest is mine and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. He says in Haggai 2:8, the silver is mine and the gold is mine. Well, that's pretty clear. Jesus owns everything. If you go to 1 Chronicles 29, David acknowledged this when he collected the offering for the temple that his son was going to build, Solomon. And the people, this doesn't happen very often, but the people actually gave more than was needed. Imagine that. They took an offering to build the temple, and eventually they said, okay, there's too much. But in 1 Chronicles 29:14, who am I, what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Said, yes, Lord, we gave a great offering, but it's all yours anyway. But then you get to the book of Malachi, the very last book of the Old Testament, and God is rebuking Israel, and he's saying, ye have robbed me. And they said, robbed you? How do we rob God? And he says, in tithes and offerings. It's all mine, but I commanded that you give me part of it back so that you can learn to walk by faith and trust me to take care of you, and you haven't been doing it. And he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. He goes on to attach a promise to that command. So it's not so much that we can give Jesus anything, because he already owns everything. So why does he ask us to give? Why does he ask us to acknowledge that he owns everything? Because he does, and because it's how we learn to trust him. Because let's face it, our wallets have a direct line to our hearts. And Jesus knew that. He says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. So, What is he telling us? Well, the Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruits of all thine increase. He's saying he's worthy of all riches. He's worthy of us to give back to him what he's commanded us to, which is the tithes and offerings. Not for man's benefit, but to glorify God and to acknowledge that he is worthy. Number three, wisdom. And as we read each one of these, we say, well, he already has it. He already has power. He already has riches. He already has wisdom. What does it mean to say he's worthy of all wisdom? Well, we know, according to God's word, that only God has true wisdom. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll acknowledge that this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19. Notice the Bible says here, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Man doesn't have wisdom. Well, he has wisdom, but it's wrong wisdom. It's false wisdom. The Bible says there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So he's worthy of all wisdom. What does this mean? It means that we need to acknowledge that only he has the wisdom. And how do we do that? Well, two ways. Number one is ask for it. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And whenever we stop acknowledging that we need wisdom, what are we saying? That we have wisdom. And we don't. That's an insult to God. He's worthy of all wisdom. He's worthy of us acknowledging that only he has wisdom, which means if we don't choose to spend time in his word every day, we're saying we don't need it. So is Jesus Christ worthy of us opening his word every morning and spending time? Of course he is. But do we do it? Number four, strength. Again, Jesus has all strength. That word strength means might. Well, we don't have any. And the question is he worthy of our service? Of us acknowledging that we cannot do anything on our own strength, but he has offered and given to us infinite strength if we'll walk in his strength. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. In Ephesians 6:10. David said in Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. He says in Psalm 71:16, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. David understood that only God has strength, and he says, I'm going to go forward in the strength of the Lord. But do we? He's commanded us to serve him. Is he worthy of our service? Of course he is. But do we show that worthiness through our behavior? Number five, honor. So Jesus Christ is worthy of all power, all riches, all wisdom, all strength. Number five, all honor, which means, of course, dignity. It means reverence. Of course, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is worthy of these things. Go to Psalm 34, if you would. Verse 3. Psalm 34, verse 3. Notice the Bible says, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Let us exalt his name. Psalm 71:8, if you turn there. Psalm 71:8, the Bible says, Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. You know, the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In Philippians 2:10. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of the glory of God the Father. There's going to come a day when every single human being that was ever born will bow the knee to Jesus. We sang that song a couple Sundays ago. The choir did, Bow the Knee. The thing is, there are going to be those who have already bowed the knee voluntarily and gotten saved. And now they bow the knee every morning in their devotional time with the Lord and their praise and their worship and their time of seeking wisdom from the Word. And the rest are going to bow when they're in His presence at the judgment seat, but it'll be too late. They're not bowing to say, please save me. They're going to be bowing because His light and His power and majesty is going to be so overwhelming, they will have no choice but to bow. Just prior to being judged and cast into the lake of fire. Imagine that. But Jesus is worthy of all honor. You know what honors Jesus? When we put Him first. When we lift Him up. Is He worthy of those things? Is He worthy of being faithful to church and showing honor? Is He worthy of us putting Him first in all things? He is. But again, do we show that worthiness through our behavior? Number six, the Bible says glory, which means majesty. The Bible tells us, Psalm 29:2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. It's due. And we know we get to the New Testament, the Bible says, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Everything about us belongs to God. And God says everything that we do should be to bring Him glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. We are here to bring Him glory. But is He worthy for us to remove the things from our life that don't bring Him glory? Because the Bible says, do all to the glory of God. How do we show His worthiness? By removing the things that don't bring Him glory. So that we can ensure that all that we do is to bring Him glory. And then number seven, it says blessing. Blessing, which means praise, thanksgiving. Blessing. Go to Psalm 103:1 if you would please. Psalm 103:1. Notice David said here, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. The Lamb is worthy of all blessing. Jesus Christ is worthy of all blessing and praise. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:15, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Continually, we're to be giving Him praise. Continually, we're to be blessing Him and lifting Him up and worshiping Him. Is He worthy of our daily worship? You know, when we get alone with God, it's not just to get on our knees and say, Lord, by the way, I need these 17 things. Can I read them off and get on my way? No. We need to spend some time worshiping Him because He's worthy of all blessing. We need to spend some time letting Him talk to us through His Word because He's worthy. And we need the wisdom. So, Jesus Christ, when we get to heaven, we're going to be singing to Him and about Him. Imagine that. Which is what we do here when we open up our hymnals. We sing to Jesus and we sing about Jesus. We're going to do it in heaven. And we're going to say, Thou art worthy. And I believe He asks us the question every day, am I worthy? Well, He already is worthy, but am I worthy? Are you showing the worthiness through your behavior? That's what Christ wants. He wants us to reveal His worthiness by how we treat Him. He's worthy. Do we do those things? Do we instead try to do things in our own power? Do we instead withhold what He is due in our tithes and offerings? Do we instead not get into the Word like we should every day and seek the wisdom that only comes from God? Do we instead try to serve Him in our own strength or not serve Him at all? Do we instead say, you know what? There's other things in life more important than going to church. But are there? If He's worthy of all honor? Do we instead allow these things in our lives that don't bring Him glory, knowing that He's worthy of all glory, and that all we do should bring Him glory? And do we instead not set aside time to truly bless and worship Him every day? That's not talking about Sunday morning church. David said, 7 times a day do I praise Thee because of Thy righteous judgments. This should be a habit for us to worship God all day, every day, but especially in the morning. Where David said, I will arise early and praise the Lord. Do we do these things to show that He is worthy? Worthy is the Lamb. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this amazing passage in Your Word. Thank You for giving us a glimpse of our future time with You. And Lord, I pray that we would truly be impacted by this great truth this morning. And Lord, I'm sure that there are some that the Holy Ghost has spoken to that might feel led this morning to come and bow the knee at the altar and say, Lord, You are worthy, and I haven't been showing Your worthiness.